Hi there, Neil here. Obviously, you love to travel. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Circa, our app, available right now from the App Store on iOS, is filled with podcasts and guides for travelers. But more than that, it has a feature that we're calling the Circa Concierge, where you can have any question about any place you're traveling answered by real people on the ground. We're giving you a friend to ask anywhere in the world. And hey, if you've got questions about Barcelona, you might even get me. Because I love to help people discover my city. And if you're the same way for the city where you live, then we want you to become part of the Circa Concierge too. Right now, we're searching for concierges in Barcelona, Rome, London, Paris, Madrid, Venice, and New York City. Don't see your city listed? That's okay. We'll be rolling out new cities throughout the year, and yours might just be next. If you love where you live and love to help travelers, sign up now to be a Circa Concierge. Help out our users and earn tips for the knowledge you have about your own city or country. Head over to circatravel.com/concierge and sign up today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry.
You're definitely the smiliest Russian I've ever met in my life, though.
Seriously.
Thank you for the compliment.
A destination isn't always a place.
Sometimes it's a new way of seeing things. I'm Neil Innes.
And I'm Andres Bartos.
From Frequency Machine, this is Passport.
Your ticket to everywhere. There are things we think we know about places. But history, prejudice, stereotypes, and the viral nature of 24-hour news and social media has made common knowledge about faraway places even more twisted than ever.
Today on Passport, we try and clear up some of the outright lies of an entire country by doing what we do best. Having a chat with someone who actually knows what they're talking about. And today, on Misinformation, we're going to that riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. Russia.
Oh, Mother Russia. In the mind's eye of the world, we only see drunk, smoking men in long woolen coats with furry hats trudging through endlessly snowy streets. We see ice-cold, beautiful women, caviar, vodka, and of course, the KGB.
We see drug scandals, the mafia, dogs in space, an illustrious horseback riding, bear wrestling, deep sea diving, martial arts mastering leader, Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin.
Weirdly, we also see a nation of Donald Trump fans after Russia tampered in the 2016 US election race. A bot farm in St. Petersburg promoted Trump rallies all over social media, and in an effort to hinder Hillary Clinton, hacked members of her staff.
They did more. There is an ongoing investigation into similar hacking tactics for the UK's Brexit referendum in the same year. And they may be added again in the lead up to the 2020 election in November in the United States. According to US and British intelligence agencies, the operations were ordered directly by Putin himself.
Needless to say, the populist view of Russia right now is not exactly fun. But outside of the Kremlin, a penchant for poisoning the outspoken and some scarily named nuclear missiles, some of us think of incredible, beautiful works of art, film and literature, and dance. Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, Tchaikovsky, Tarkovsky, Rodchenko, Kandinsky, Nureyev. Darkness, both aside and considered, We are drawn to the largest country on the planet, its immense history, and its immense size. Russia is intimidating, to say the least.
So to help us work out the mysterious soul of this intense land, we're talking to our new friend, Ekaterina Malakova. Born just 600 miles east of Moscow, she's traveled the world. She knows the preconceptions that come with being Russian. And she's had to deal with it her whole life. So us two fools are going to put her on the rack one more time. Armed once again with a series of incredibly stereotypical questions about her homeland from everyone's favorite unbiased information source, the internet, to find out what's going on in Russia. So here we go. But first, what does Kate think we're going to ask her about?
The first thing is vodka.
Okay, that's
apparently,
number one.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's on the list.
The next one is language. Yeah. Like such a big country, apparently a rich language. Mm. And next one is about food. But please don't ask me much about that. I don't cook well.
But do you eat well?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, then you'll be fine.
Well, the next one is architecture and art in general. And then the next one is Putin. How often we see our president riding the horse, apparently.
Yes.
There's definitely some Putin love
Number
sure.
four.
Yeah, the next one is beauty of Russian girls. Mm. What is the secret beyond? And then the next one is sauna or Russian banya.
Hey.
Yep.
And
where we're in right now, basically.
Yeah, welcome to our banya.
That's so true.
Yeah, we're sorry.
And the next one is social experiment of communism. And the last one, I should probably not say loudly, but you may wonder if I'm a spy or a secret agent of KGB.
Even if we get through tonight, we're probably not going to survive this.
Potentially.
She looks like a dangerous lady.
Definitely. Perfect spy, really.
I cannot answer really this question.
So, Ekaterina Ivanovna, if that is in fact your name.
Oh my God, that's true.
Well done.
Thanks. I've been practicing.
I've been practicing all morning and I was still chicken to do it. Kate has lived all over the world. She's an author and an authority on nuclear waste management. But her actual title is kind of wonderful. Andres doesn't know this yet, but Kate is a double doctor. She has two PhDs.
Does not surprise me in the least.
She's a doctor of universe. What's the exact title?
Well, yeah, that's a PhD of Earth, Environment, and Universe.
What?
So, yeah, if you have questions about your destiny, feel free to ask.
I have so many questions about my destiny. She grew up 13 hours drive from Moscow, which Kate still considers a neighborhood of the city.
Well, it's a lovely story because I'm from a very small town, which is called Dimitrovgrad, and it is located just 1,000 kilometers east from Moscow, which is considered just neighborhood.
It's very close.
A suburb of Moscow.
Yeah, and this is a very small town, and it was known for its green trees. So it's used to call it like city in the trees.
Really?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So like whenever I need to go to school or music school, I had to go through the forest.
Amazing.
Wow, Russian fairy tale.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a little bit dangerous. So my friends, they were telling like never go through the forest to the school because it might be like full of alcoholics.
I thought she was going to say bears.
Yeah, wolves. Just drunk old
Just
Russian
alcoholics.
Men.
Oh.
Her destiny was kind of ordained by the town she grew up in. It was dominated by something we all think about when we think about Russia.
We are based by a nuclear power plant.
Ah. Yeah,
that's why we have good vegetables, smart girls.
So
types of vegetables you find nowhere else in the world.
Well, the size of them.
You have a nuclear power plant that dominates the whole town.
Well, it's like most of the people work there and entire my family work there.
Really?
And it's not really even power plant, it's research institute. So you could find things you would never find in the world.
What do you mean?
Like different types of reactors and different research activities and patents for like, for example, treating the cancer.
Okay.
Yeah, because nowadays you use radionuclides for treating cancer.
Of course.
And you can produce them only in my hometown.
get out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Was it because of the power plant that you decided to become a scientist?
Well, exactly. It's just we are surrounded by these nuclear activities, yeah. But no one in the city really knows what is radioactivity, how dangerous is it. So I wanted to become an environmentalist to basically protect environment from the nuclear industry. And as long as I was studying the nuclear science,
yeah.
It turned out that it's the most environmental friendly source of energy.
That's what you discovered.
Yeah, that was a big surprise because I started fighting against it.
Right.
And now I'm working for the nuclear radioactive waste storage. And it's like a big scientific advantage for humanity nowadays.
Wow. That's a wild, wild job. Katya, Ekaterina, Kathy, Kate. She goes by many names, as does the most famous Russian.
Do you know that your illustrious president has many nicknames?
Are we on Putin already? What nicknames does the Putin have?
I'm gonna try and read some out. Okurok?
Okurok. Oh, that's the cigarette leftovers.
Like ash?
Cigarette butt.
Cigarette butt? Wait, they call Putin cigarette butt?
I never heard of it.
Balotka?
Balotka. Well, that's his real name, Vladimir.
Okay.
And that's if you would call a boy like...
Juanito.
Yeah, exactly. Like a little boy, Volodka.
Oh, Volodka.
Pukin?
Pukin.
That one made her laugh.
That's terrible. That's like play of the words of farting. And his last name.
The fart. Wait, what's the word for fart?
Puk.
Puk. Puk.
Oh, Pukin. That's so sweet.
Puking.
A little puk.
These ones are my two favorites. Putla.
Putla?
Putla, oh my God. Apparently, you know what is it.
We're seeing a stencil of Putin as Hitler.
And Kim Jong-poo.
Oh, Kim Jong-poo. That's cute.
I've never heard any of this.
And they also call him squad head asshole or douchebag.
You are going to ruin my career.
Sorry, Kate. I did beep it. Russia and opulence go hand in hand. There are more billionaires in Moscow than any other city in Europe. There are 163,176 millionaires in the country. 26% of these people are cash rich. Vaults and vaults of actual cold, hard Benjamins. The highest level in the world. It's more than twice the numbers in Europe and almost three times that of the United States. So do Russians just swan about all day scoffing caviar?
You guys have caviar on everything.
Well, we start on a breakfast and then just keep going. No, of course we don't.
Food might not be the thing you think about when you think about Russia. Personally, I have this image of a vodka bottle and a sad boiled potato. But we hit Kate with a food round anyway.
What is it? Have you tried it? Is it good?
Okay.
Borscht.
Oh, borscht.
Yeah.
I have it here every day.
Okay.
It's a soup,
yeah.
And it's made of beetroot.
Yeah. She looks at her notes.
Yeah, that's the key ingredient because right. That makes this soup red.
Mm.
If you have sour cream, you're really lucky.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, number two.
Chi-chi.
Excuse me?
Again, please.
I just looked at the word.
Is it a soup?
Chi-chi.
Chi-chi.
Shchi. Well, it's another soup. And it's borscht. Exactly the same, just without the beetroot.
That's sad.
Green borscht.
Kind of.
Number three, solyanka.
Is some kind of soup. It's a lot of salty things.
Okay.
Like pickles.
Oh, do you like it?
I love them.
Ukha.
Ukha, that's my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, that's what my dad used to make. It's a soup, of course.
Of course.
And it's made of fish.
Oh.
And since my father is a fisherman, he would like go with his friends for fishing. And when they got the fish, they would make ukha right in the place on the beach. Yeah, so they have this tradition to put a shot of vodka into the soup.
Ah.
And I think it comes from the old ages to sterilize the food because you are taking the water from the river.
Sterilize.
And it's like sterilizing.
Yeah. To feel like it's properly Russian.
Yeah, and maybe in France they cook with wine, so in Russia we cook with vodka. Once, he forgot me on the boat.
What? What do you mean?
Well, I was young, so I don't exactly know how many hours.
How many hours were you scared?
No, I'm not that one. No? Yeah, in Russia we are like rarely get scared.
Are you telling me Russians are fearless?
Probably.
Whoa. Look at that smile. She just scared the shit out of me.
I know.
She just scared the living shit out of me.
With
right
her
there.
Little fan. Just fanning herself. Like, I could tear you in half. You don't even know.
All right. I think it's my turn.
Yes.
Piroshki.
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 It's like dumplings, but fried.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds delicious.
You can make any different fillings, like cherry filled or like with meat or with onions, for example. Onions and eggs, my favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Blini.
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 Is pancakes.
Yeah.
And that's what I can do, actually.
that's the one dish. One.
Yeah, exactly. And my husband, he loves them.
Yeah?
It's like super hard to make, actually. Takes, I don't know, 2-3 hours to make them.
Seriously?
And just 2-3 minutes to eat them.
Wow.
Yeah. And you could put caviar, of course, on pancakes. But what we love is condensed milk. It's like really sweet.
So why is it that this is the dish you know how to make? Is this something that like your mom taught you how to make and your grandmother?
Yeah, apparently that's the thing. When you come to a different family for a holiday, they would make a pancake and you would always compare like, oh, my mom does it differently. And like, I prefer my mom's way. So I learned how to make it to like really proud of my mom and like to keep this culture.
Was it something that she was making all the time or is it special occasions?
No, I would say it's a special. And everyone would make these pancakes to celebrate the end of the winter. And we burn the big, big handmade like doll.
Wait, what?
You do like Wicker Man? You do like Burning Man?
Yeah, exactly. In the city center of every city.
What?
Yeah. So, for example, my mom and her friends, they would go to the forest to celebrate this holiday and they would make this doll by themselves. And my mom, she would dress it and make a
like a face.
Like a face, yeah. And then they would burn it and sing a song and drink vodka.
I love the crazy thing that always happens with food is that you discover this other stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of weird things start coming out.
I love it.
It's like, yeah, we eat that on the day where we burn the giant mountain. wait, hang on.
Alcohol consumption in Russia remains some of the highest in the world. A study from Oxford University in 2014 estimated that Russian men drink on average of 20 liters of vodka per year. It has dropped. Russia is sobering slowly. But the nation's drink is vodka. And there are so many rules. Just hold on. Number one. When you have a bottle, it must be drunk until it's gone. Number two, one should not put a glass with alcohol back on the table. Number three, vodka is poured to everybody sitting. Number four, one should not make a long interruption between first and second shots. Number five, the latecomer must drink a full glass. Number six, leaving guests must drink one last glass, the so-called nyapososhok. As a rule, every portion of spirit is accompanied by a touch of glasses and a toast. Number eight, it is not allowed to fill a glass being held in the air. Number nine, it is considered bad luck to make a toast with an empty glass. Number 10, it is considered bad luck to put an empty bottle on the table when it's finished. They go on the floor.
We've been skirting this issue for long enough.
Vodka.
Oh, yeah. Well, probably I'm not a proper Russian. No. I tried it too late.
Really?
I think I was like about 25 years old.
What?
Yeah.
How did you avoid tried vodka?
How did you avoid vodka until you were 25?
Well, probably it's a thing for like older guys. And like nowadays we prefer cocktails.
Look at her.
Wow.
Fancy. So are you telling me the first time you tried it, you're like, meh?
Oh, it was disgusting. It's so strong and it's so disgusting.
Do you still to this day think vodka is disgusting?
I don't remember if I tried it again, but
you only tried it once.
My goodness.
Probably.
Is it the stereotype is two old men in a bar, bottle of vodka, and just shots.
Shot for shot.
Boom, boom, boom.
Old stereotype.
So it's done.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it? We're finding this kind of a lot with misinformation by doing this thing. That our generation, maybe the generation slightly younger than us, is kind of almost purposely trying to trounce all of these like myths that they've had enough of.
But do you think that it's people trying to break the myths, or it's just the fact that we're mixing more?
Well, I think you're right. It's part of globalization.
Right.
And before it was really closed countries, so we would never have anything else rather than vodka. But now it's like more open and we are getting now more drinks and like it's easier to get and cheaper to buy.
So we've picked the happiest, least vodka drinking Russian on the face of the earth. Misinformation, destroying stereotypes, once again. So let's go to a little known drink. A drink called kvass.
Kvass, I love it.
What is it?
It's a drink made of bread.
Did you just say bread?
Yeah, exactly.
I love how she's like, yep, that should be enough information for you.
Made of bread and yeast.
Oh.
And what does it taste like?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a little bit kind of kombucha taste. If you ever tried it,
oh,
kombucha.
Wow. That sounds really good, actually.
Yeah, but it's better.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
Kombucha burn. Get out of the way, Korea.
And it's also healthier. Bread actually has to be really dried.
Wait. The bread is sitting in liquid?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and then you kind of like wring it out.
Well, you like filtrate
it. Like an old shirt.
Just you filtrate it through the textile. Normally we use marle. It's like type of textile.
Right.
And then it's just good to go. And it's a little bit sparkling with CO2.
Ooh. When you describe it, it sounds really good. But if somebody said to me, here, try this. This is an old piece of bread that we've...
Oh, I'll tell you more. We are making soup out of it.
What?
Yeah, it's called akroshka. So if you have the Russian salad without the mayonnaise, you put this drink, and that's the soup. It's like summer soup, which is cold and make you refresh.
Oh, like your gazpacho.
Ah.
Oh!
Who doesn't love a good steam? In the Nordics, saunas are top of the list of stereotypes. But in Russia... Well, in Russia, they sauna like lunatics. The banya is the most hardcore sauna in the world.
Yeah, it is.
Have you done it?
Of course.
All right, what's it called?
Banya.
Banya.
Yeah.
And it's like hot.
Normally above than 100 degrees Celsius.
What?
110, it's like cool.
Yeah. Celsius.
Yeah.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, we are Russians.
110 degrees Celsius. That's 230 degrees Fahrenheit. Describe the situation.
So it's like summer cottage outdoor.
Out in the countryside.
Yeah, that's how I would explain it. Because, for example, my husband's parents, they have a house in a village and then they have a separate house, which is like small house for banya.
Yeah.
So it's entire like two-story building for like different rooms, for like different temperatures rooms.
What?
At one room, you would chill out and watch a TV.
What?
And drink a beer. And then the next room, it's like a little bit hotter. You can like wash your body and like use a shampoo. And then the next one is the hottest one.
So you have to like progress through it.
Yeah, because we do repetitions and there is a kind of procedure you follow. And it's like first you go to the heating room and you're sweating, but you're not doing like anything special.
Okay.
So you're just waiting for the first drops.
First sweat. Yeah.
And then you're good to get out.
Okay.
You're going either to jump into the snow or into the lake or into the swimming, I don't know, pool.
Right.
And then you're ready to go to come back to the second session. And at the second phase, some people already start fighting with the, like,
she's
branches.
She's doing a gesture. It looks like she's hitting something.
A whipping gesture.
It's a, you hit yourself with branches?
Well, it's not yourself. It's your friend.
He's hitting your friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Or your friend is hitting you.
Yeah.
But, like, just like a tree branch.
Yeah, it should be dry.
Ow. Sounds terrible. So I
No, but before you would like wet it in the hot water so it would become soft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
and
it hurts
then
more.
A friend or your husband would take the branch made of birches or oak.
Okay, birch or oak.
Yeah, and then he starts hitting you.
Yep.
And it feels like massage.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels good.
Gentle massage.
I was going to say, this does not sound gentle at all.
Just
no,
light,
sometimes you scream, but it's a scream of happiness. But it's a scream of happiness. Yeah, and then actually it's a hard work. Because can you imagine, like, you're laying down and accepting massage, but the guy, he's actually doing exercises.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's,
in
like, super
heat.
Hot.
Yeah.
And this circulation of air, it makes, like, the huge hurricane of hot...
Oh, right. Yeah, it heats the air.
Yeah, hot air, like, hitting your body and the head of this guy. So we are used to have these funny hats in the banya to protect the brains. It's like not to be overheated.
Oh, so you don't, so your brain doesn't cook in your
exactly.
own head. And dress is just covering his whole face.
I mean, this is another level. And the little hat, like, what does it look like, this little hat?
It's not that little.
It's a big
it's
hat.
Like, it's a hat to cover your ears especially.
Okay.
And like the hair, because when the hair can really get dry, it can fire on something.
It can catch fire?
Well, if you touch something really hot, you are not supposed to touch.
So, if you're ever in Russia, expect to get naked, wear a felt hat, get beaten by branches by your friends, in a room so hot you can cook eggs in it. The benefits of the banya are tried and true. Hot steam cleans the skin, makes it soft and smooth, it helps fight illness. If you want to lose weight, doctors will recommend going to the banya once a week. There's a Russian proverb, a day spent in a banya is a day you do not age.
We'll be back after a break with Kate and more chat about Russia, the mafia, conception day, superstitions, and much, much more.
Hi, everyone. Circa is recruiting new concierges. A Circa concierge is a friend to ask anywhere in the world. Real people, on the ground, never bots. If you want to be a concierge for your city, go to circatravel.com to sign up.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Picture a Russian. Are they smiling? Of course not. The world thinks of Russians as stone-cold hard-asses. Is there any truth in this at all? I mean, sitting across from Kate, it's hard to imagine.
It is truth. Like in Moscow, if you would smile a lot, people say you are silly. It's like we have a proverb, like if you smile, you are silly. But in a small city, like from in my hometown, you get really like warm and heartwarming smile when you get into the family.
Oh, nice.
So it looks like we are really cold when we are in a big like company or like when we think about the society. And everyone, I think, tries to protect themselves. Somehow we feel insecure. So we give this like face, like, don't bullshit me.
Right.
But once you get to the family, it's like changing everything. Everyone is super welcome and warming and smiling and kissing and like willing to give you everything they have.
If you met somebody on the street,
they would not smile.
If you were in to invite someone out for dinner or if you were going to invite it for drinks or something, that person would completely change.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
When you go back to Russia, do you smile less?
I try to.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, well, also I used at the governmental company in Moscow. And if you would smile at work, they would tell that you don't have enough work to do. That you like have free time to enjoy your life.
You're smiling too much.
Yeah, exactly.
It is true. If you act kind of annoyed all the time,
it looks like you're busy.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a strange thing. And apparently it was not very natural for myself because
sitting across from you, I can't even imagine.
And I didn't even notice when the change happened to me. And then when I moved to Germany, I met Mexicans, like super smiley people and friends. And they were so happy to make friendship and like so open to me. And they're like, are you like okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, don't talk to me. I don't know you. So I was super protective.
Right.
And after a while, when we got closer, we became friends. I started smiling every 5 seconds. And then it hurted. I'm like, oh my God, my cheeks didn't work for the last 10 years.
You had to do a little exercise.
Yeah.
Well, that one's true.
I would drink to Mexico.
To Mexico.
Viva Mexico.
Viva Mexico.
Nice vodka.
Oh, we didn't. Yeah, I was going to say. Wait. How do we toast? We didn't do this. How do we toast in Russia? Let's do one in Russian. To make your wallet fat.
За то, чтобы наши кошельки всегда были полны денег.
Whoa! I will not be able to even do half of that.
Oh, that made me so happy. But I'm not going to show it.
Yeah, Neil, you would fail as a Russian,
my
friend.
I would fail. I have the biggest mouth in the world. Like, you can see me coming from a mile away. I can't, like...
You're a smiley man. That's serious? There's still a smile in there.
Shut up.
You're still smiling. Now it's getting bigger.
Russia is about 20% of Earth's land surface, but it only has 144 million citizens, making it one of the most sparsely settled countries on Earth. With a low birth rate and high death rate, the population has been shrinking since the early 1990s. In 2006, Putin described the falling birth rate in the country as its most serious problem. How would they fix it?
We don't know if this is true, but there's a day in Russia where people are encouraged to make a baby.
Oh my God. I wish I would know about it. I would celebrate it.
And so it was deemed that Procreation Day would be September 12th. Amorous couples who then have a child exactly 9 months later on June 12th, Russia's National Day, are rewarded by the government for birthing a patriot. They win fridges, cars, televisions, and even money. And people think the Russians are unromantic.
Another stereotype we hadn't really known about until a few weeks ago is that Russians are the most superstitious people in the world. Remember, even just sitting drinking vodka with people has numerous rules about what is permitted and what is not. Bad luck lives in Russia. So we tested Kate with a series of superstitions.
If your ears or cheeks are hot.
Someone is speaking about you.
Yeah. Well. If your nose itches.
You want to drink alcohol?
If your right hand itches.
Oh, you're going to get big money.
If you have the hiccups.
It's something thinking about you, but in a nice way.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's cool. And people think about me a lot.
You have hiccups a lot?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's probably your family or daughter.
Problem with my diaphragm.
If an eyelash falls.
You will die soon?
Dark.
I just made it up.
I know. That's good, though. I like that.
That's it.
I like how she said it with a smile.
A Russian sense of humor right there.
If a fork or spoon falls on the ground.
Someone will come to visit your house soon.
If you eat from a knife.
You will be an angry person.
Amazing.
That's
so specific. How do you remember all of this?
Well, apparently it's a thing. I never thought about it.
You're not allowed to whistle in anybody's house.
Oh, that's true. Because you will stay without money.
Because you're whistling.
Yeah.
Wow. And it's just a done thing. Like if you whistle in someone's house,
they will run out.
If you find yourself standing between people with the same name.
Of course. You make
what
a wish.
Mean? Really?
Of course.
So you're sitting.
You make a wish.
Yeah. You never lose this option.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're sitting down. You turn. Hey, what's your name?
Everyone would tell you like, oh, look at you. You're sitting in between.
You're between.
Even if you don't notice by yourself, everyone will tell you.
I guess it would happen quite a lot in Russia as well, because there's like a lot of similar names.
Well, it happens. I would say almost every party. Yeah. Yeah. We just make great wishes.
Huh? Sixth on our list, of course, is the Russian mafia. The don of world crime bosses has to be Semyon Mogilevich, a small 300-pound chain smoker who's been on the FBI's top 10 since 2009. Authorities from multiple countries are after him for 40 criminal offenses, from racketeering to wire fraud, conspiracy, money laundering, and of course, murder for hire. He remains a free man in Russia, almost certainly thanks to protection from friends in high places. It's rumored that everyone in Russia knows someone in the mob. So at least one member of your family is in the Russian mafia.
Of course.
Doesn't even skip a beat.
No joke.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're scaring me.
Yeah.
A little bit. There's a smile.
Who is it? Who is it in your family?
No, that's the thing I'm not allowed to tell.
If you don't know who it is, then it's you.
Right.
It's
like,
maybe it's not a thing every day, but sometimes you really like suspect people.
I am just simple vodka salesman. I'm pretty certain, for the record, Kate is not in the mafia. Russia's dark side is certainly propagated and pushed in the mainstream media. Even though homosexuality was decriminalized in Russia in 1993, the law still considers public promotion of it a crime. Violations lead to fines up to $7,000. A real red-hot button topic in the country right now is the 2006 gay propaganda law, fully enforced in 2013. The government used the protection of children as an excuse to silence any public discourse about LGBT issues. The law denies kids their right to information about sexual diversity. Activists took the government to the European Court of Human Rights to argue, and in 2017, the court's decision, thankfully, was to rule against Russia. They said the country had failed to demonstrate how freedom of expression affect traditional families, and that the European Court would not endorse the homophobic policies. Sadly, the propaganda law seems to remain. Just last month, Yekaterina Lekova, head of the Women's Union of Russia, urged President Putin to ban a rainbow color ice cream. She said, and I quote, "I don't like the rainbow, just as I don't like the swastika." So Russia, why so homophobic? It's illegal to be gay in Russia.
I'm afraid it's true. I'm not sure about the law, but it's so close to become a real law, even if it's not yet there. Yeah.
Do you think it's going to go that way?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the last accidents were happening. It's all about against this.
Personally, how does that make you kind of feel about Russia?
Well, it's just, I don't know, it's out of date. I don't know. If people don't accept other people, probably they don't accept themselves. And maybe it's the thing which is inside of the person who is rejecting this.
Right.
And I think by accepting others, you're wider and wiser person.
That's very nicely put. Well, while we're on the subject of hate.
Russia hates the United States of America.
No, that's not true. And I don't think we have big, strong stereotypes about the country-wise, because I think Russians are so different by themselves, so we don't treat other countries like stereotypes. Well, the states are huge, right?
Yeah.
And they have so many different states, and people are different in these states.
Yeah.
So I don't think people judge Americans. They would say this person, that person.
Yeah, it's almost like every state has its kind of quintessential person.
Sure. The Russia and the United States were, competing, the Cold War, all of this stuff, that there was this kind of culture of competition.
But the society is very different from politics.
Yeah.
And we don't really, I don't know those people who would say negative about other countries.
Here you go.
Nice.
Go to Russia.
Online, there's one thing which nearly always tops the Russian stereotype list. We've seen the footage We've all grimaced, laughed, hidden our eyes, flinched, and been moved in the incredibly strange world of Russia dash cam footage. Does your car have a dash cam?
What is it?
Those cameras that you put in the back?
Oh, that's of course. Come on. You have to record the entire life of the car.
Where does this come from? Is it a safety thing? Is it like a litigious thing?
Well, unfortunately, I think it comes from the fact that justice is not always there.
Right.
So, like, if someone is richer, they are going to win, unless you have this video recording.
Oh,
I mean, for us outside of Russia, it has given us some of the most incredible footage that has ever been seen.
That's so true.
Googling Russia, 100% of the time, will get you this top hit. Russian women are the most beautiful women in the world. The guys, oddly, never seem to make the list. Russia girls have an incredible amount of ethnic diversity. It's easy to forget that Russia stretches a third of the way around the world. And they are obsessed with appearance, like really obsessed. Throughout the 1850s, Russia was among the first countries to introduce higher education for women. They're incredibly well educated. Nothing sexier than that. Are they all beautiful, though?
Yes, we are.
Wow, she doesn't even skip a beat.
No, being abroad, I just hear it so often.
Right?
But in Russia, you would never hear it.
No?
Like in Russia, you're average. Okay. And suddenly you go abroad and you're a superstar.
So when you're there, nobody has this idea? Nobody's thinking about this?
No. It's like even maybe different. Like they would say you're like average what you're thinking of yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
6 foot tall, like perfect looking.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like, look at this girl next door type.
It's a kind of competitive thing.
Really?
That inside of Russia, we are like competitive. So we are trying to become like more beautiful, more stronger, more, I don't know, have a better face or body. And then suddenly when we go out, it's too much. Like we are too good.
Russian women, very appearance obsessed. Yeah.
It's huge. When I was a kid, like during my school times, I would never go out even to like buy milk. Without makeup or like wearing heels or wearing a dress.
In school.
Yeah, it was so huge. I would be so embarrassed. And especially if like some people would see me and they would tell later like she was like not prepared. Her like hair was not done. But now it's changing. I'm so glad to see.
Oh, really?
Like, right now it's like a new trend. So like we are trying to accept natural beauty without makeups. And yeah.
You
it's
can go
getting
outside
easier.
In like flip-flops.
Not yet.
Step by
That's
step.
That's too
right?
much.
There you go. That one's true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, speed round. Russian customs. True or false?
Never turn down a drink.
True.
Never tell a yo mama joke.
That's true.
Yeah?
Never argue with a babushka.
That's so true. She's always right.
You heard it here first. Babushka, always right.
Babushka wins.
If you're going to somebody's house, never show up without a gift.
That's true. Yeah, it could be flowers or a bottle of wine or even a chocolate.
If you are going to bring flowers, never bring an even number.
Yeah, that's so true.
What?
Yeah, even numbers when someone is dead.
For funerals.
It's a superstition.
You only bring even number of flowers to a funeral. And if I go to a funeral with an odd number of flowers, that's also bad.
But I'm not sure if someone would count on the funerals, but at birthday they will count.
They'll count.
They'll
count.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It's like you're wishing me dead. Get out of my house.
Exactly.
And you'd whistle on the way out just to like
oh
mess with them.
The worst.
Don't criticize Russia.
I would say yes. It's just being polite to the place where you were born.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
Although you might have reds in your head when you think about Russia, it was only really a communist country from 1922 to 1991. So why does the world still think of communism in the former USSR? All Russians are communists.
I don't know how to answer. Well, it depends on the age, probably.
That's a very good answer. That's a very good answer.
65?
Yeah, I would call they have the spirit.
They've got the spirit.
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah. They
them.
Like truly believe in it and the sure. success. Yeah, so, but now it's changed.
Right. And now everybody loves Putin.
That's so true.
She's giggly. Really good she's at laughing silently.
I know, she's giggling with malice.
We call that the Putin laugh, where you're laughing but nobody can hear.
She's laughing, I can see like devil horns coming out.
I'm not laughing.
Kate wears her Russian soul with a smile and a laugh, always. Outsiders view Russia with trepidation. But in reality, the lack of smiling is down to a workplace loophole. They don't all drink vodka. They're not all homophobic. In a nation so huge, their view of themselves is more diverse than you could possibly imagine.
Russia is one of these places that everybody kind of has an idea in their head, but at the same time, it seems mysterious, right?
Yeah, I think it has signatures of both Europe and Asia, but yeah. It has something special about itself. Yeah. So you can always say, oh, he or she is Russian.
Yeah.
But something also in the like eyes, in the way we behave in society. And it's not really easy to explain what is it special about us. It's something you cannot describe, but you feel.
How correct do you think the world is about Russia then?
I would say like 70% is correct.
Wow.
But it depends also like on the source, because at one source we can see about beautiful Russian culture, architecture, musics. And
absolutely.
At a different side, it's all about nicknames.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are like always truth and gossips, but yeah, in average, it's all right.
I mean, it is true that we completely avoided the incredible culture of Russia, the literature, the music.
Yeah. It's and from the scientific point of view, it's like such a history and heritage.
Sure.
You're proud of all of that stuff.
Well, yeah, especially of science, because I maybe a little bit know more about science than on art
right.
in general. And then also it was a surprise for me that I went abroad to get a degree in biogeochemistry. And only when I graduated, I found out that it was a Russian scientist, Vladimir Ivanovich Vernadsky, who actually created this field of science. And
oh, wow.
He wrote a manuscript which is still valuable. And like nowadays, we are trying to solve the problem of climate change.
Yeah.
But actually, everything is already written. So for me, it's a big treasure. And it's a heritage that I think we need to like awake, reborn. He was actually one of the first who discovered radioactivity. And on one side is the thing that is killing people.
Yeah.
And on the other side is the radionuclides that are treating cancer.
Yeah.
So like there are always pros and cons. And I think it's just the conscious choice of humanity, how you will use this source of knowledge.
Hmm.
And we have this knowledge. So now I think it's a step for humanity to make a decision.
I think that's how people should think about Russia as well. You know
right?
all of the bad stuff, but you also know there's a lot of good stuff. So you just got to choose which path. Choose your path.
Choose your Reddit thread. Are you proud of being Russian?
Of course. Come on.
Why?
I don't know. I feel like I can do everything. It's like the matter only to make a wish. And everything may come true. It's just... I don't know how to explain. It's just being Russian, I think that I can do everything. I don't feel limits. And the only limit is in my head. So whenever I make a wish, I decide that there are no limits and I can achieve everything in my life. And so far, it's going really good.
I was going to say, having met you, I think that's true.
I think that's true, yeah.
It's determination.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. It's like, I can be Doctor of the Universe.
And then she...
double Doctor of the Universe.
Kate is smart, fearless, charming. She's mystical for a scientist. She flirts with ideas of wishes and destiny, but she also knows that if you want to find the good in something, you have to search it out. Now, maybe this is part of that heavy Russian soul. She loves her country for its art and sciences, for its beauty and its vastness. But she also knows its flaws, its mistakes, and its troubles. So with that in mind, we did have one last question. And on a scale of 1 to 10, how sexy is Putin? She's completely gone silent. She's just doing hand gestures. She's trying to escape. She doesn't want to answer this question.
10.
So, though our judges here at Passport and Kate counted that 70% of the myths and stereotypes we presented today are true, we couldn't help but think that the view of Russia might be exaggerated with regards to certain qualities.
So after all of our talk about Russia, are we ever going to see you again?
Yeah. Is this the last time we're going to see you?
Or is it like the end?
Well, it depends what you will cut off of this interview.
Maybe the question is, are we going to be okay?
That's probably the most correct question.
Oh, jeez. Spies speaking against Putin or the country, voter fraud, the KGB, online interference, election hacking, poisoning. Russia has a rep for tampering. And I should have been worried. No word of a lie. After our interview with Kate, the interview you've just heard, my laptop, my phone, both my bank cards stopped working. A coincidence, I'm sure. Andreas, on the other hand, still has full functionality on all of his devices. It must have been something I said. And they also call him squad head, asshole, or douchebag.
This has been fascinating.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
I do feel like. I always feel like it's a little bit parting the curtain. Just a little bit.
The iron curtain.
Ah! The iron curtain's gone, dude. The doorstop to the iron curtain.
The doorstop to the iron curtain has been removed.
It has been removed.
Once and for all.
The iron curtain is open.
Thank you for inviting. Now I know more about Russia than I used to.
That's what we do here at Passport.
This week's Saved Pins are Ekaterina's top 5 places in the vast, vast land of Rus.
All right, here we go. Number 1 is Gorky Park, a beautiful park in the Moscow city center. It's great in summer for a stroll and for the view of the Moscow River. Also, there's the Garage Museum of Contemporary Art that always has incredible exhibitions. And in winter, the entire park turns into an ice skating rink. You'll be whistling the scorpions through the whole damn day.
Number 2. Head to St. Petersburg and take a boat tour through the city channels and rivers. Kate and her husband took this trip when they were tired and frozen when visiting St. Petersburg in the winter. So it's a great lazy option to see the whole city all year round, such as the Fontanka River, Kurikov's Channel, the Moika River, the Winter Channel, and the Neva.
Number 3. Samara City. Kate recommends walking in the old city to see typical Russian culture, which is quite different from the capitals. It's in the western part of Russia, about 1,000 kilometers away from Moscow. It used to be a closed city, and now it's famous for space programs and technology. Kate comes back to Samara once a year to teach at the university there. And the best part of the city is a walk by the River Volga, the biggest in Europe, with the view to the Zhiguli Mountains.
Number 4, Lake Baikal. The world's deepest lake has freezing water even in the summer. The culture here is really completely different from the Russia you know, or you think you know. This is the southern Siberian area, near the Mongolian border, 5,000 kilometers away from Moscow. It represents the unspoiled beauty of Russia, and is sometimes referred to as the Sacred Sea.
Number 5 is Kamchatka. If you continue traveling even further from Moscow, about 6,500 kilometers to the Russian Far East, you will reach the Pacific Ocean and find the Kamchatka Peninsula. You can see Kate's relatives there, who eat caviar every day for breakfast. It's a volcanic wonderland with the highest concentration of active volcanoes on Earth. It's super cold, pretty much all the time. So it's great for mountain skiing and snowboarding, but you will also have to take a helicopter to get to the best spots.
That's it for this week, guys. Thanks for coming to Russia with us. Next week, we're off somewhere a little more safe. Producer Harry Stutt takes us to Silicon Valley, California, to ask some old hippies about having our brains uploaded to the cloud. And we find out how San Francisco counterculture created the richest, most elite city in America. And also, where to go for some exclusive Apple merch you can't get anywhere else. We'll see you then. This week's episode of Passport was written, produced, and edited by me, Neil Innes, and Andres Bartos. Huge thanks to Professor Dr. Katerina Markelova for talking to us for the show. Go follow her on Instagram at Ekaterina Markelova Eco, underscores between. We'll have all of Kate's details in the show notes if you want to check out some of her writing, her talks, and much, much more. She really is a genius. Our theme music is by the incredible Nick Turner, as always, with additional stuff by Lieutenant Fitzgibbon's men, the Like These, the Benign Ones, Condor, Ryan Vernon, Rochelle Rochelle, Off the Menu, and Tchaikovsky, of course. Our production assistant is Eliza Engel. Hi, Eliza. The show is mixed and mastered by Julian Kuzneski, Stacey Book, Dominic Ferrari, and Abby Glijanski. Whip us in the banya each and every week. They also executive produce the show, which is hosted by myself and a man who wants to grow a mustache and legally change his name to Andrei Bartovsky, Andres Bartos. We'll see you in the next place.